It's funny what sticks in your mind. This is kind of a cautionary tale to parents. I was thinking our readings, and specifically an example in my life. I'm trying to find examples of one of the points that I think is being made in our gospel about responsibility and taking responsibility, not just for ourselves, but for others. And so I'm thinking of, you know, my mom, my dad, and all of the times when I'm sure, that's all to part my memory, but all the times, like, I'm sure they've had these good lessons that they've, you know, tried to impart. But the one that came to mind was my father and I were exhausted. We were coming back from vacation, and it was just one of those long traffic days. The whole family, it was a long traffic day. We were just stuck in traffic. And halfway through the trip, we heard this clunk. We just kind of kept going on. And it wasn't until we got home that my father realized that the clunk was the lid of the cooler coming off and landing in the road somewhere. And my father's like, oh, gee, you know, and I'm just like, Dad, you know, don't worry about it, whatever. And he's like, no, I have to go back out. I have to go back out and at least make sure that the lid to the cooler is not in the road and not going to trip someone up or cause a scene. I'm like, Dad, I'm sure it went off to the side. I'm sure, like, don't worry about it. But he insisted. He said, no, you stay. I'm going to go. And my father went back out, and he, another hour or so in the car to go find the lid, to all this stuff. Yeah, it's strange what sticks with you. So that was a case where it stuck with me about taking responsibility for ourselves, but also for others. My dad didn't want something to happen to someone else. In our gospel this morning, the disciples are scandalized at what has just taken place 3 days prior. Christ has failed. The Messiah has failed. And the disciples are downcast, the term we hear in our gospel, and they're leaving Jerusalem, heading to this town, Emmaus. When this stranger draws up next to them and begins to sort of inquire as to what's going on, and, you know, they're kind of shocked. How could you not know what has happened these last 3 days? And it's interesting how they describe Jesus, right? They describe Jesus as now just merely a prophet. Where is Peter's great confession of faith that you are the Christ, the anointed Son of God? He's been demoted. Our Lord has been demoted to merely a prophet. And now it is the third day, and we, you know, still, and there's these rumblings going on, but the disciples are downtrodden, and they're leaving Jerusalem. This still happens in our day, right? This, I think, is an image of the fallen away Catholic. There are many reasons why people leave the church. Some of them are understandable, some of them not so much. But it's always a tragedy, right? We recognize that when someone leaves the church, they're leaving the pearl of great price, you know, that image from sacred scripture. They're leaving this incredible treasure behind, which means that they're living a life that is more impoverished than it needs to be. And so what do we do, right? We love, I'm sure we know many in this situation, and we love these people. Well, we take a play out of Christ's playbook. So he draws close to them. And this is the point, right? We don't just take responsibility for ourselves getting to heaven. We take responsibility for the faith of those around us. And I mean, that's the great, joyful, beautiful message of the whole of sacred scripture, is that God seeks our happiness, comes to us, right? And so we emulate Jesus. So we meet these individuals where they are. We meet them on the road. We enter into conversation with them. This, I think, is where a lot of us get caught up. There's that famous sort of saying about St. Francis where he says, preach the gospel always, and when necessary, use words. And it's a great line, but sometimes I think we can use that as an excuse not to speak. Oh, well, I'm preaching the gospel with my actions and how I live. I don't need to talk to this person. Christ shows us that, especially in this gospel, there is a time when we have to draw close to those who are wandering away from the church, and to have that courage to enter into conversation with them. And that means we have to be sort of prepared, right? We have to be prepared. You know, we can't give what we don't have. So that's a difficult one. That one takes courage, entering into conversation. And then, of course, you know, what else does our Lord do? You know, he asks. He kind of listens to them. He listens to sort of their hurt. He listens to their explanation of things. He listens to their side of the story. And only then does he begin to speak the truth, obviously out of a great love for these disciples. And he begins to make clear to them some of the things that they were misunderstanding or weren't considering or didn't even know in sacred scripture. And their hearts begin to burn within them. They recognize that something is being told to them that they've really truly are missing. And they really truly recognize that I need this. And what's interesting is the thing that is driving them away from Jerusalem is this failure of the Messiah. He's been killed. After the stranger, the wayfarer's explanation of things, the thing that causes them to return to Jerusalem is that the Messiah has been killed. He offered his life for us. Right? So the thing that they were struggling with actually, interestingly enough, becomes the reason for their return. And often I think that can be the case where there are things that, you know, we struggle with, and then when we come to realize them and see them through the right lens, they can be actually the reason for our return. Take the Eucharist, for example. Many, many individuals who have left the church because of not understanding the sacramental life of the church, especially the Eucharist, have later had this conversion in their life where they have recognized Jesus Christ in the breaking of the bread. And they return. They run back to our Lord. When Jesus talks about the Eucharist, right, in John 6, it is the definitive moment in his public ministry when everything starts to go bad. When Christ talks about the reality of the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ present in the Eucharist, that's when many, many of his disciples say, this is too much for us. This is too much to believe. And they go off. There are many reasons why individuals, you know, walk away from the church. And it's interesting about the Eucharist, because just like in the early church, that was the moment when things kind of went bad, when our Lord started to teach on the reality of the Eucharist. And to this day, right, it can still be a reason for departure. But it's also, so it's interesting, because the Eucharist is also the reason why people stay. Why they stay through some of the worst times in the church's history. It's because of the reality of the Eucharist. In the words of St. Peter, Lord, where else will we go? You have the words of eternal life, and those words have made you present here in the Eucharist, right? Where else are we going to go, Lord? You're here present in the Eucharist. That, you know, all the raging of the world and the wickedness that is out there in the world and inside the church, you know, where else are we going to go, Lord? You're here in the Eucharist. It depends on whether, you know, we believe that the Eucharist is just a cracker surrounded by crazy people, or if it's really, truly what Jesus says it is. And that realization leads us back home, leads us back to the church when we realize that the truth of the Eucharist. There are many reasons, right? Many reasons why people might leave the church. A big one is scandal and hypocrisy. When people are supposed to act a certain way and they viciously and intentionally act a different way. When Catholics act in unchristian-like manner. And again, what's interesting about that is when someone leaves for that reason, it's almost a type of confession of faith. They recognize that the church is supposed to be holy. And, you know, look at these spokespersons for the church being corrupt and vicious. I'm out of here. That's happened all throughout the history of the church. And what else has also happened all throughout the history of the church is good, saintly people stepping into the ruins and living the faith as it's meant to be lived. Don't define the church by those who fail to live up to the standards of the church. Define the church by those who succeed at what Christ calls us to. Right? That's what we're called to. And if we can show that holiness in our own life to individuals, then that can be, you know, we can work with our Lord to bring them back, to the church. Of course, you know, there's the other reason: pain, suffering, and all the kind of the brokenness in the world can drive people away from the Lord. You know, God, I thought you cared. You know, why is there all this evil and suffering? Well, we know, right, that part of it is that our Lord does not will this. He permits. He has his permissive will where he allows things to take place in order that we, for the sake of our freedom, you know, take, you know, death of a loved one. It's so awful, especially, you know, death in general, death of someone suddenly, unexpected, prematurely. You could drive someone away. The book of Job is this sort of study in suffering, right? How much suffering will Job endure until he finally curses God? And the beauty of the book of Job is sort of this Easter joy, which is in the Old Testament, which is interesting enough, where Job says, you know, the Lord gives and the Lord can take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I know that my Redeemer lives, and I'm not going to turn on God. So this beautiful faith of Job. When we're able to help others recognize that God's desire is our happiness, right? He longs for us to be with him in paradise. And this life is a classroom of saying yes to our Lord so that we can say yes to him in the most critical final moment of our life, to be with him for all eternity in heaven. When we can help others sort of understand what the church teaches about suffering, it can become the reason for their return. Catholicism is not a prosperity gospel. You know, we don't preach that if you start to follow Jesus and live the life of holiness, everything is going to become perfect for you. We know that Christ says, if you follow me, you're going to have to pick up your cross, right? And if you follow me, the world's going to hate you for it. But what the church does offer, what our Lord does offer, is meaning. There's our suffering that we all have to go through does not have to be meaningless. And it can be the cause of goodness in the world, right? So Christ's suffering is the cause of great goodness in the world. Our suffering can be what merits the return of a fallen away friend. We offer up our sufferings for our loved ones. So we've got to look out for each other. That's what we see our Lord doing in our gospel. He's looking out for these disciples. He's taking responsibility for their faith. And he's coming to them in their need. And to do that, right, we follow our Lord. He lives his life for our sake, right? And that's part of our toolbox. Part of the response, the new evangelization, is holy, passionate Christians. Part of the response to evangelization is living the sacramental life ourselves, right? Being steeped in the sacraments, right? Each one of the sacraments is Christ acting in the world. So to love the sacraments and to help others to come to love the sacraments. And of course, St. Jerome tells us that ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ, right? So we have to know sacred Scripture. Right? We have to know Jesus through sacred Scripture so that we can confidently and easily sort of discuss him with others. It's not about new programs or progressive thinking. General Mattis, he said, It's about brilliance in the basics. This is the tried and true sort of method of evangelization. It's about brilliance in the basics. Taking responsibility for ourselves, trying to live that life of holiness personally, having the courage to talk to others, and taking responsibility for their faith too, and trying to remove obstacles for the return. And again, here's why, right? Because we are all God's family. Baptism has made us one family, and family looks out for each other. So we can ask ourselves, Lord, who can I help lead back to the church? Who can I encounter on the road to Emmaus and help turn back to Jerusalem?